Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Okay, so we're in this is the third week of a series that we're doing called Unreasonable. Thank you. Appreciate that, which is, this idea that, you know, we look at that word as a negative thing. Somebody's being very unreasonable because it's beyond reason. And what I've been trying to show you is really how unreasonable God has been with us. Because you either are unreasonable, which is beyond reason, or you do things in reason. And I don't know about you, but sending your only son, we sang it today, the son of suffering. I don't know about you, but if I had to send any of my kids away to suffer, that would be unreasonable to me. Would you not protect your children at all costs? That's reasonable. So to send your son to die for people that are mocking him is pretty unreasonable, right? And so this is this whole idea that that's why when we come together, and I don't know if I've ever had that analogy of the king coming down the, I don't know what road they come down. I know it's Westminster and all that, but is there a road that they come down? I just think going to that palace and it is lined with people that wait there for hours to see a king for a brief moment. And we get to see the king, we get to worship the king, and he comes in here every Sunday. Amen? So I sometimes wonder, Lord, help my ability to sustain, to be able to stand to, and it's not like we have to stand. It's interesting, though, if you want to look at it in the natural, this is not my sermon, but it would be very odd if you, when the king came by, I don't know if you're even allowed to sit. Like, usually everybody stands. It's a very honor thing, right? And so I don't know if anybody in America, we do that, right? We just sit back and lounge, wave at whoever's going by. But in England, it's very honorable. So I think when the king comes in, it's like, Lord, we just want to worship and declare your presence. Amen? Yeah. All right. Okay, here's an odd story for you I wanted to share. If you ever have a chance to preach, you get really weird. I get really weird memories that come to mind to help me with my illustration. And so I had totally forgot that I played baseball. And you'll understand why I easily forgot it. So I had a good arm. I was really good at throwing. So they thought, this guy's got a strong arm. Let's first of all try him as a pitcher. It was a picture to remember, actually. So they had me as a pitcher. I lasted about 4 innings because I kept throwing it fast, but nowhere on target. I hit people. It was humiliating. So I think I was 10 years old. Do you even remember me playing baseball? It was such a short period of my life. So what do you do with somebody that can throw pretty good? If it's not a pitcher, well, then you put them in the outfield because at least they can get it back, right? So they didn't put me anywhere important. They put me on the right side where nobody ever hits. And so I remember just literally game after game sitting there looking at the grass at 10 years old going, this is the stupidest game ever. But I remember the one time. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember the one time somebody hit the ball to me. Man, was I excited to catch that ball. And I did, without my glove, right in the face, in my nose. Do you remember? Knocked me out. And I woke up from that going, what am I doing playing this game? What am I doing? I have you'll quickly notice that those are not my sports. So I also played football for a while. About the same age. It might have been the next summer. So I thought, you know, insult to injury. I played football, and I played bench, actually, is what I did. I played a lot of bench. And I remember the one time at practice, the only thing, again, I was good at was running. I could run really fast. I was a track guy. I love track and field. But track and field is an individual, for the most part, sport. And so it was fun to try to do things with your friends. They tried to get me involved. But I remember they would blow the whistle, but I'd keep trying to run after that guy and tackle him at practice just to make myself feel good. And I remember the one game they put me in. And I don't know if Rudy, the movie, was out yet. How many have seen the movie Rudy? Well, I don't know if that was out yet. But if it was, that would have been me and my theory. And I remember getting out there. I honestly, because I rarely ever played. I ran out on the field. I'm like, where do I go? They're like, just stand there. And I remember thinking, this is the moment I'm gonna show everybody. It's pretty bad, actually, I'm sharing all this, but I'm like, this is the moment that I'm gonna get, whoever's got that ball, I'm gonna tackle. And you see how tall I am now? How short I am now? you can imagine how short I was in grade eight. Well, they or a hut, you know, and I go running, and this person of a wall, I don't even think I got 5 feet, and I was on my butt 5 feet back. I was done. I was out. They called me off, and I was on the bench. And in my mind, I'm like, what am I doing? I only played baseball one season. I only played football one season. That's it. Why am I saying that? What am I doing? That's the question that kept coming to mind. What am I doing? So we've done unreasonable mercy. And we've done unreasonable forgiveness. Today I want to talk about unreasonable love. I want you to be here next week. I got one final one that I really want you to hear. It's something that's actually going to help us, I believe, move forward in what God's call is for us. So if you can be here next week to wrap up camp and for that message, I'd really appreciate it. But today is unreasonable love. And as I studied unreasonable love over and over again, I looked at so many scriptures. You know what thought came to mind? What are we doing? Actually, that's what thought came to mind. There are only a few messages that really grieve me. And when I studied love, that's one of those messages where I often step back and I look at my life, I look at the body of Christ, and I go, what are we doing? Because what I see written and what I see happening are very contradictory things. So let's just start with a few scriptures right off the bat. I hope you have your Bibles. I'm so glad to hear pages turning and people getting the app. And if you don't have the app, the Bible, there's a lot of Bible apps that are fantastic. So why don't you grab your Bibles and let's right off turn to Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. I think it's Bible Hub. There's Blue, BLB. There's a Blue Letter Bible, which is really cool because you can look up words on that app. This is, if you can switch, if you have that app, this is the NLT, but it's very similar in the New King James, but it says this in Romans 5, verse 8. Pick out the verbs for me if you could. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we are still sinners. You getting the verbs in this sentence? But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I love that it's actually two things that he, you know what I'm actually really thankful for? I realize that I'm thankful that God didn't do what I often do when people have needs. I'm gonna pray for you. And there's a place for that. I think there's a real, but have you ever had somebody that has a need and you're like, I can meet that need. And what comes out of your mouth somehow, instead of going, I can meet that need, is, brother, I'm gonna pray for you. I'll make sure I pray for you. And you're like, oh, why didn't I do something? Anybody just me? It's just me that's ever done that. Or has anybody else ever done that? At least we have some honest Christians in here. It's funny how sometimes we can meet a need, but maybe we don't feel to meet the need, or we forget to meet the need. But I am thankful that when Jesus looked down, he didn't go, I'm gonna pray for you guys in the mess that you're in. Remember when the Israelites were in bondage? And it said that he heard their prayers. And so who did he send? Moses. He sent somebody. So here we have, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we are still sinners. He showed, he sent, and he died. Guys, that's just like right off the bat. Isn't that unreasonable? That's what we just talked about. Sometimes I look and I'm like, we are so churchy that we forget what God did. We really are. We've heard this so many times, but just stop. He died for us and actually as us so we could have eternal life. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just a really good story. He did this. And why? Because he so loved us. Amazing. All right, I want to turn to a few things. Another scripture here. Turn with me. Let's hold off that one. Turn to 1 John. My brother's here, Sean. Welcome. Good to see you again. You're almost coming enough to be a part of our church. Not sure what that means. Dun, 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 dun. Aunt Joanne and Uncle Mike, they just celebrated their 50th anniversary. Congratulations. And actually, somebody on this side, whose side? Your side? Your parents celebrated. These are your parents? You're pointing to them like they're your parents. You guys look great for your age. Happy 50th. Wow. Your parents celebrated 50th. This is your sister. We welcome. I was going to tell you this after. I don't know your name. You know, Kirk? Kirk or Kurt? Kirk. Okay. I probably could have asked you because he's like answering. Kirk? Keith. That's why he's looking like. Between Claude and I were doing well the other day. Is Cindy here? I was mentioning Cindy, but I was calling her something else. And after, he's like, her name's Cindy. I'm like, oh. So Kirk Keith. This is why I was supposed to do it afterwards. Anyway, I just want to let you know, when you walked in, I felt like the Lord said you have a business and leadership anointing on your life. And that, I don't know if you walk in that right now, but you just, something about you, you carry yourself and you've got a business and leadership anointing. So I can probably share more with afterwards, but just love that. Kirk. Captain Kirk. I should stop asking you guys anything. Last week it was my wife. Oh, to answer that question, I don't know if you saw that in the Passion Translation or that was just a download. We were discussing whether it was the son of John or Jonah. It actually does say both, but it's interesting that one translation describes, because it says Peter, son of John, another translation, son of Jonah. Well, who was Jonah? He was somebody that ran from God. Who was Peter? Somebody that had been running from God. So I'm not sure all the details, but that is an interesting thought. So, okay, 1 John, did I tell you that yet? Did I tell you chapter 4? There you go. Did I tell you verse 7? Okay. Yes, look at that. I just love this. Again, I hope as we go through, you begin to go, God, this is unreasonable love. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 12 says, "Dear friends, let us continue to argue with one another." No? Richard? "Let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." I just stop and think, you know, I'm a part of the church. I'm a pastor of a church. I've been in the institution of the church for most of my life. And I look at how many churches that we have with different denominations. Like First Baptist, Second Anointing of the Third Trinity. Like, I just made that up. I don't even know what that means. But we have so many. And the reality is at some point, people fell out of love and stopped walking in love and started a new ministry. Now, I believe in church planting, absolutely. And I don't think every church plant has to have the same name, but what I'm trying to say is that every church that you see with a long name or a different branch of that is because at some point love fell off. And so they had to separate. And I think here's the challenge, just a little side note, is that we get so caught up in loving things that are not about what God loves. Truly, churches have split because of the color of carpet. God's like, I don't even care if you have carpet, right? Churches have split over, like, I am so thankful that, you know, we could do things like when we do the worship in the middle of the sanctuary and people may go, wow, that's really different. But nobody goes, I'm leaving this church because you changed the chair. I don't even know where I'm sitting, except for Connie and Rob. Connie and Rob sit wherever I sit behind me. That's just what they know to do. So, but people split over things like this and God's like, I don't really care. Let's find out what God cares about. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. God showed how much he loved us. Unreasonable love, I'm throwing that in there, by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. I want to read that again because it's interesting. The next line says, in my translation, this is real love. So what is real love? sending his one and only son into the world that we may have eternal life. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us. Do you remember that? Maybe you were born into a church family, but some people here were not born into a church Christian family, and God loved us before we loved him. Or maybe you were born in a church family and you went to church all your life in the child rearing years and you could not stand church, and yet God loved you before you cared about him. The crazy thing is that that person on the street that you go downtown Windsor and you see him all over, did you know that God loves him or her just as much as he loves you? It is hard for our brains to wrap around that, isn't it? But I go to church and I worship him. He's like, that is fantastic. And that's something that is so good because it blesses me and it blesses you. But it actually, God would say blesses you more than it blesses him, but it's a great thing to do. But as far as love goes, he loves them as much as he loved us. And actually is chasing them as much as he's chasing us, which is crazy. Dear friends, Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. So what is the measure of the love that we're supposed to love each other with? The same love as the God that sent his son to die for us and went after us, even though we were not going after him. And we were like I don't know everybody in here, but certainly there are some people in here that had a life that was not godly, not even close to godly. Gosh, I lived in a godly home, and I know the stuff that I did before I became a Christian really truly gave my life. He's saying that we're supposed to love people like that. But surely he means the people in the church, right? Surely he means our brothers and sisters. We'll go there in a minute. But if we love each other, so let me go back. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, surely we ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. I want to read that again. If we love each other, if this love is seen, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. That word expression is really cool because it means to represent, it means to manifest. So literally says that if you love people the way God loved us, you will represent and manifest God's love and represent and manifest God. You're not following me. So when I go and I love somebody that's hard to love, because we're going to read a scripture. You guys know this scripture. I'll just foretell it already. It's the scripture where it says anybody can love somebody that loves them back. Okay, we're going to go to that scripture in a minute. But here's the point. God's like, when you love somebody that's hard to love and you go beyond that unreasonable love, you're actually manifesting me to the world. But wait a minute. We manifest you to the world every time we worship. Well, look around the room, and how many people in here are not saved? It's hard to manifest Jesus to a world when we're inside the church, which I believe 100% we should be when we come together. But the reality is, a lot of times what we're trying to do is really hope that they're gonna come through our doors when God's really hoping we're gonna go out of our doors. And every day when we go to work, we have a chance to manifest God's love in an unreasonable way. And I don't know about you, but if you're with people, anybody go around people every day? If you're with people anytime, anywhere during the day, you have a chance to have unreasonable love. Because man, people are hard to be with sometimes. I'm not talking about each other, maybe. But I am talking about somebody that's difficult to be with, and God's like, I want you to manifest unreasonable love right now. And that simply could mean loving them unconditionally. Here's what I share this often because we're in a very, very pivotal time in our year, in God's timing, in history. Because with all the things that are happening with elections, one of the things when I talked about that first weird thing where I said, what am I doing? Because I'm playing a baseball game that I can't play. When I look and I say, what am I doing? I look at our Christians and I say, what are we doing? Because Jesus says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's people. That's flesh and blood. My wife, flesh and blood, people. And yet everything I see in politics from often Christians is we are naming them and fighting against them. And yet it's the spiritual realm, because God calls us to, let's just look there. If you want to turn to it, this is the hardest scripture I think we have today. You can turn to it, Luke 6, 27 to 36. Luke 6, 27 to 36, still NLT. This is a great way to start this scripture, because he says this, but to you who are willing to listen. What does that mean? Some were not. Often he would say, that's the basically you who have ears to hear. You know, it's like everybody has ears. What he's saying is, you who are willing to listen, listen. I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Gosh, what a great description of the body of Christ in this hour. It is unreasonable. Unfortunately, right now, we have gotten into this name calling. We are labeling people, and God's probably up there going, this is so contrary to what I died for. Because you realize he came and he actually ate with the people that we're angry with at times. Like, you may not like it. Maybe you name your politician. I'm not going to name the politician that you hate. But chances are, if they had a heart to go and at least sit and listen to this person, Jesus would have been like, hey, come on in. Come on in and listen. And right now, we are dividing like I've never seen nations divide ever before. But here's the amazing thing. As Christians, we have the opportunity to unite like never before. And I want you to know, it doesn't mean we agree. Gosh, I was faced with something recently. I'm like, I don't know how to do this, but Lord, I'm gonna just keep pressing in because I can't agree with something, but I wanna love because that's what I'm called to do. So we can be in total disagreement and go, Lord, show me how to love nonetheless. Because it says here, it says, but you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. I looked up the word enemies. You know what it means? Enemies. I was really hoping for a way out, but it's like, actually, with that definition, there's not a lot around it. It's like enemies means enemies. Love your enemies. Do some okay thing. Do good to those who mildly dislike you. Nope. Hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Like, that is unreasonable. Like, don't we have the right to go, Jesus, you are being so unreasonable. And he's like, I know. I really am being unreasonable. But aren't you glad that I was unreasonable for you so you can be unreasonable for them? Oh, I don't like that answer, Lord. I really don't think that's fair. Have you ever discovered that fair really has nothing to do with the gospel? John, do you have a question? Or are you praising the Lord? Mm-hmm. Was that a question? I got lost in the thing because I got thinking about it. Have I ever wondered? They hate us because we're supposed to love.
Have you ever wondered why the world hates Christians so much and burns churches and persecutes Christians? Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
You know, pray for your enemy.
Yeah. Well, we're not supposed to be. My point that I'm trying to make is right now that a lot of Christianity is becoming radical. Well, actually, we're supposed to be radical. Let me rephrase that. We are supposed to be radical in a very different way. And the church is becoming very earthly minded and taking earthly stances instead of taking kingdom stances, instead of becoming unreasonable with our love. This is not an easy message. I've watched things like, I don't even remember what it was. I remember watching the one thing and watching these new Christians in a nation that you were not allowed to be Christians hung on a cross in water until the tide came up and they drowned. And they worshiped until they died. Like, I remember watching that thinking, Lord, I don't know if I'd have the strength to do that. In the moment, I pray that God would give me that strength. But that is the very real thing of what it looks like when you just say, Lord, I'm walking with you. Please, I want to go back to this. Please don't misunderstand me that I don't think there's a place to, in politics and properly do things. What I'm trying to say is that I'm not sure how much the world sees love coming out of Christians right now. We certainly can do better. Let me finish this. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be a very great one, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. Then your reward from heaven will be great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. We are all trying to walk more and more like Jesus, aren't we? Here's my point, guys. And maybe, you know, just like for you, it's difficult like it is for me. That the reality is when we come on Sunday is such a small part. This is the building up part of our faith. This is when we come together as a group and we worship together. We encourage each other. This is that part of it. And I'm so blessed that we get to do this in a free nation. You know, like we don't have to, like there are some nations where they say, listen, pray about where you think we're gonna meet and see, like, cause you have to have the Holy Spirit tell you cause we gotta do it in hiding. And it's so secret, they don't even tell each other. They basically pray for the Holy Spirit to show them. Like, that's faith. I'm so thankful that we can worship and not worry about people walking in and we're arrested. My point is this, that's such a small part, and I'm realizing more and more, when I walk out the doors, my love needs to be on. When I go into the grocery store, I want to manifest Jesus through love. What does that look like? It could be an act of love and kindness with my neighbor. It could be, somebody is sick and we get to pray for him. It could be that we make a meal and go over and pray for him. It could be like whatever God shows you. But my concern right now is that we often think this is the main event, when I believe the main event is the minute you walk out the doors to go love and manifest God to the world. It's no different. You know, I think about the fact that in Jesus's time, the temple was still there and everybody went to the temple. That was the main thing. It's interesting that very short time, 40 years later, the temple was no longer there. The temple was destroyed. And what became the temple? We became the temple. So everywhere they went, the temple went. But did you know that nobody could go into the temple except for Jews? And after it was destroyed, everyone had access to the temple. How? Through us, as Christians. And so I'm like, Lord, how do I manifest myself through love to people? That's the question. could be your coworker that you don't blast when you want to and have the reasonable right to. This is what it comes down to. You have the reasonable right to. Like when your coworker is just being that person that's so difficult and you have the reasonable right to blast them, God's like, I want you to have the unreasonable opportunity to forgive them. Have mercy on them. Now love them. I'm so grateful that in John, it says Jesus came with grace and what? Truth. Mercy's part of grace. It's okay, you get an out. He came with grace and truth. You know what I'm really thankful for? That they wrote grace and truth. I'm thankful that they didn't write truth and grace. Why? Because grace comes first before we can give the truth. Because most people will never receive the truth unless you've shown them grace. And I don't know about you, but man, I'm so thankful for Jesus. Like, if we treated people, how do I say this? I don't think we treat people like Jesus treats us. I think we need to learn to treat people like Jesus treats us. Because sometimes I think he's in heaven and he goes, oh, Yve, did you really say that, Jay? Like, did you really do that, Jay? And often the way we talk to people is like lightning's gonna strike, and yet I've never had lightning strike. Thank you, Lord. I'm like, could I walk outside? I don't even golf, and no. My point is this, that often we think that lightning's gonna strike, and yet I have watched mercy after mercy after mercy after mercy in my life. Anybody else? Yeah. And I'm like, Lord, I need that mercy for other people, and I don't have it. But I'm so grateful for a Father that does have it and a Holy Spirit that can give it to me. But the truth is, unless we know we're supposed to be at working in it, we're not gonna ask for it. If we think we're right in mocking, criticizing, and all these different things that is becoming normal now for Christians, if we think we're right, we won't ask for the grace to change that. But if we get condemned and go, not condemned, convicted, sorry, and we repent and go, Lord, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to do this. Holy Spirit, would you help me? Watch what begins to happen. But the first part is realizing this is not the way that Jesus came to show us. Very quiet in here. But as I read all these scriptures, I literally went, what are we doing, Lord? Because love does not look like the way we're manifesting it to the world. There's a, let me tell you a story that's really cool. There's something happening in England right now. They're actually, that people would say that they're behind us, but they're actually ahead of us as far as things go. See, England entered the post-Christian realm a long time ago. Way before us. Canada has entered post-Christian, and now America seems to be headed that way. Interesting, I was listening to two pastors from England, and the interviewer was like, so how would you describe what's happening in England right now? Because they're actually having a bit of a revival in England. And he said, I would describe it this way. He says, if you've ever seen, and this will become very easy for us with the fires from out west, he said, if you've ever seen a forest fire come, he says, not long after that, when you go and look, you're gonna see all these green shoots beginning to pop up out of the ground. And he said, that's how I would describe England. If people didn't know any better, you would just see the burnt. He says, but as pastors, we're seeing these shoots come up. What's crazy is I thought, well, I'm gonna, like, what must these services be like? What is going on? So I jumped on and found their church. And when I looked, they're like Presbyterian Anglican churches. And so what we had today would be like so extreme for them, because they come in and they sing songs, and I didn't see a whole lot of hands up. I saw a few, and the preaching wouldn't be a whole lot different. But here's the difference. People are going out and loving and bringing people in to the point where they have no room. Isn't that awesome? But did you hear what I said? They're going out and they're bringing people in. And people they're finding, whether they are finding some interesting things. People are coming, they're like, I don't even know if I like church, but I'm desperate for community. and I'm desperate for a community that will love me. Do you realize that just loving the way God loves, people may come in just to be loved before they even accept Jesus? Wouldn't that be amazing that they're like, why are you here? I don't know, it's the food and the, you know, yeah, good coffee and I get really loved here. Are you following Jesus? I'm not sure yet. But man, this community loves me. I would love that. Because at some point when you say, they're gonna get to a point at some point where they're like, the only way people can love me this way is they've gotta have something that I don't. And the only thing I can see is it's gotta be God. I've said a lot and I don't know how much, why we have so much time still, but I'm gonna go to one more scripture because you guys know this well, so we're just gonna talk through. But if you wanna turn there, turn to Luke 15. This is, we call it the prodigal son. Maybe a few things that you don't know about this story that I just so love. This is God over and over again trying to go, this is what love looks like. This is what love looks like. Because the Jews grew up in a testament and a covenant where love sometimes was harsh. Like they grew up in stonings and casting out. And so God's like, I got to come and show you what it looks like. So in Luke 15, I'm going to read a bit of it. NLT, Luke 15, verse 11. You guys, if you've been in church a long time, you know this story, but maybe you don't know a part to this story. Luke 15, 11 says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all the belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer, to hire him, and the man sent him to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. No one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to eat to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me as your hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. I'm gonna stop there for a minute. Maybe what you don't know about this is the first thing that the son did was something that would never be done. You don't ask for inheritance before your father dies. That's like basically saying, I want you to die. So the first thing, that would be like ultimate offense to ask for it. And he was also the younger son, which is a secondary offense because he usually went to the older son. The next thing he did, he went and it said he, in some translations, lavish living. He basically partied all his inheritance away. You think of it, he was probably doing it. The next thing you need to understand is he was in a Gentile land doing it. And then he ends up in a famine eating the things that he wants to eat what the pigs eat. Pigs are forbidden. Like this, you can't get any lower. But maybe you didn't know this about the story, because I didn't for a long time, and one day I came across it. You know, we read things, again, through our Canadian eyes. What we don't realize is, because there's a part there that it says, the father saw him a long way off and ran. Do you know in that culture, men don't run? In that culture, men don't hike up their clothes and run. It was shameful to do that. Why would a father do that? The father is trying to say, Jesus is trying to say, listen, let me tell you about my father in heaven. And for these Jewish people, they'd be like, what are you talking about? Men don't run. Men don't hike up their clothes and show their legs for sure. So here's the thing. Why was the father running? Did not know this. I can't pronounce this word. It's like a kezaza, something like that. There was a Jewish tradition that if a son did that to a father, and he came back to town, the townspeople had a right to go to him to break a vase and cast that person out forever. The people had a right to do that. You know why the father was running? He wanted to get there first. Think about that for a minute. This is the love that God has. Like, think about that. So many castaways in our society. And this is what he's talking about. He's like, I want to get to them first. And for so many of them, I have come to realize when you, not that I've heard their stories, I know my own story and I know where my pain comes from and I know what my pain leads me to do. And when you hear their stories, there is such deep level of pain that I believe that the Lord's like, man, I want to get to them before society continues to break the dish and cast them out. And he's like, I don't have legs on the earth, but I got people. I got people that can run. What a crazy, like, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that creates galaxies and stars and trees, and yet he runs after us. Like, sometimes seriously messed up people, he runs after us. Don't you love that? When you're talking about unreasonable, like for that man to hike up his, whatever you call it, garments, dress, that's, yeah, to run to his son who disgraced him, and now the public was about to have the right to disgrace him and cast him out. And he's like, there's no way I'm beating them to my son. Because the minute that he got there, and what does he do? Look at. So he returned home to the father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him, which was a sign to the public, this is my son. I love this. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. For the son of mine was dead and now he is returned to life. He was lost, but now he was found. Let's have a party. Don't you love it? He's like, Father, I sinned against you. I'm so unworthy. I'm terrible. And he doesn't even, he's like, guys, go get his robe. You know what it reminds me of is Gideon. You know, the angel comes up to Gideon, if you know the story, and Gideon's wallowing away and he's pressing in the wine press. He's pressing wheat in the wine press. And he comes up and the angel goes, oh, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon goes into this whole explanation why he's junk. And the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus, doesn't even listen and just keeps going, you're amazing. That's the kind of heavenly father we have. Isn't that awesome? And now what is he saying to us? I want you to go love like I love that, like you. I love you that way. Now I want you to go love everybody else that way. Oh, good, my brothers and sisters that go to church. Nope, they're the easy ones. Really? Yeah, they're the easy ones. I want you to go love your enemies, those that hate you, those that spite you, those that curse you. I want you to show that love to them. Like, that's totally unreasonable. I know. Isn't that awesome? People be like, show me an example of that. I just did. Son that disgraced his father, took all his father's money that he'd saved for his whole life, spent half of it because the other one went to his son, the other son, went to the Gentiles, partied his way through everything you can think of, was with the pigs and almost ate the food of the pigs until he came to his senses. He came to reason. He came to reason, and yet his father became unreasonable with his love. And that's what we're supposed to do with each other. And with every person that we meet, I am determined. I'm like, Lord, I don't know how this looks, but I'm determined. If you will grace me, Lord, everywhere I go, I want to have unreasonable love. So when that person at the counter is giving me food for the drive-through and is just the most miserable person of my day, Lord, how do I unreasonably love them? Because I don't want to right now. Or that coworker, or that brother, not you, Sean. Great job. I don't usually have to worry about that, but now I have to, you know, normally I could say it without you being here. No, it's joking. How do we love unreasonably? That's why I love when we come to church and we can begin to do it in here. Because for me, it's practice. Because if we can't do it in here, why are we going to do it out there? But if we can do it in here, and maybe we should get better at walking across the aisle. We all go to people that we know, the easy ones, the ones that just, you know, we talk to all the time. But what if we started to go, you know what, I'm going to go talk to somebody I don't know. I'm going to be unreasonable. Maybe I'll go on a generosity rampage. You guys, you following me? All's I know, let me end with this and we'll stand. I am not saying it's not complicated. It is complicated. I am totally simplifying situations. Some situations are super complicated. How do we love when somebody is blatant sin? I know, those are hard. No, and when they know and they don't care, that's hard. But all I know is that Jesus continued to love people. It also, I want you to know that it doesn't mean we don't set boundaries with people, because that's love too. Doesn't mean we become mats and we get walked on. That's not true. But all I know is that Jesus had this unreasonable love with people all the time. And I think in error, when we want to pull back because we don't know how to do it, we miss out on some of the greatest things that we could do. We could love unreasonably. So instead of going, I don't know how to do it, we go, let's go on a journey together to love people unreasonably. And what is that going to look like? Amen? Why don't you stand? Yeah, please know there are people that you have to set boundaries with because of love. Sometimes setting a boundary is unreasonable love for that person. It's when he tells you to do something for that person, you're like, wait a minute, I just set a boundary. Now you want me to go love them? That's God. And so, Lord, I don't know how to work this out all the time. I really don't. But I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit, who knows and will guide us. And Lord, all I know is that, Lord, sometimes the body of Christ does not look like you. And Lord, I think everybody in here wants to look like you. At least we want to take the journey to get closer and closer and closer. So Father God, would you help us through your Spirit look more like you? As we leave these four walls, Lord, I ask that Father God that we would go out and we would be your hands and feet. And we would manifest to the world you. And Lord, we don't always know what that looks like and how to do it. But again, Holy Spirit, we say help. Can you say that with me? Holy Spirit, we say help. Help us to do this. Help us, show us. Show us, Father God, how we can do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.